ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 9, the dynasty of Amsuman, text 33. Evam karuna basinya vilapancha anatava vyagrapasam ivakada Sudasa Shapa Mohita. Translation. Being condemned by the curse of Vasistha, King Sudasa devoured the Brahmana exactly as a tiger eats its prey. Even though the Brahmana's wife spoke so pitiably, Sudasa was unmoved by her lamentation. Purport. This is an example of destiny. King Sudasa was condemned by the curse of his sister, and therefore even though he was well qualified, he could not restrain himself from becoming a tiger-like Rakshasa, for this was his destiny. Talabhyate dugavat anyavat sukham. Bhagavatam 1.5.18. As one is put into distress by destiny, destiny can also put one in a happy situation. Destiny is extremely strong, but one can change destiny if one comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Karmani nirdahati kintu chabakti bhajan. Brahman Samhita 5.54. The context of this situation is that Maharaj Sudasa was personally not responsible for feeding contaminated foodstuffs to Vasistha, because somehow or other, to make a long story short, a demoniac personality, a Rakshasa, had entered into his kitchen, and it was he who entered human flesh in the plate that was to be offered to Vasistha. Vasistha, by mystic power, could see that the food was contaminated. And subsequently, Vasistha cursed King Sudasa to become a Rakshasa. And although King Sudasa in itself was qualified as a Kshatriya, was adhering to Dharma, because of the curse of the sage, he fell from that platform, and he had to go through this whole ordeal of becoming involved in sinful activity. And all this is destiny. So does that relieve King Sudasa from the responsibility? If he was cursed, and if all was due actually to the curse, then did it mean that he was not responsible for his actions? One might think like that. After all, it wasn't directly his doing, it was due to a curse. But that is not a fact. In the human form of life, one is responsible for one's actions. Therefore, the king was certainly responsible for acting in this way. Although somehow or other, he had become cursed by a great sage. It is a fact. We see that in the description of Ajamil, how the Yamadutas are about to take Ajamil, and the Vishnudutas stop the Yamadutas from doing so because Ajamil has chanted the holy name. Therefore, the Vishnudutas have ascertained that Ajamil was sinless. He was sinless, and subsequently, the action of the Yamadutas was highly inappropriate. In due course of time, Yamaraj personally appeared there, and Yamaraj personally begged pardon. He begged pardon for the actions of his servants, because one is responsible for the action of his servants. And even if one's servants are not acting appropriately, then one has to take reactions. So that was the culpability of Sodasa, that he had servants, and that when you have servants, there is a risk that you become involved in all kinds of possible reactions, even though you yourself have no intention to act in such a way. You'll get the reactions of the degraded actions of your servants. In this case, a somewhat extreme situation where the servant starts to feed human flesh to a sage like Vasistha. That's probably not something that happens every day, but the risk is there that the servant will misbehave. And therefore, one who wants to have comforts in life has to also be prepared to take the risk of having the reactions. So many people have servants. It's very common. Also here in Mumbai, we don't have to go far to find some servants who are having some function in the house. Some servants are in the kitchen. They are cooking. But even if they will not add human flesh to whatever is cooked, still, if it is not offered to Krishna, then it is simply sarva kilbisai. Then it is simply only sin. It is only that which is offered to the Lord. Yajna sista is what is required. That can free us from sinful reactions. Therefore, a devotee is very careful in who is cooking and will not just take anything from anywhere, knowing very well that one becomes contaminated by eating foodstuffs prepared by a person who is impure. Even someone who is not offering it to Krishna. We can see also in the Mahabharata the situation where Bhishma Dev was in the assembly of the Kurus, and at that time Draupadi was mistreated, and Dusasana tried to disrobe Draupadi. And Bhishma Dev, the upholder of Dharma, a Kshatriya, the best of the Kshatriyas, Bhishma Dev, the topmost of the Kshatriyas, one who was completely a defender of Dharma, didn't do anything to protect Draupadi. How was it possible? How was it possible? And the explanation is offered that Bhishma Dev had also been given some contaminated foodstuffs, and his consciousness became affected. So that is also very interesting, that we may inadvertently eat here and there, eat this and that. What can be done? Hungry. When the need arises, then we go for it. But such things certainly have an effect on our consciousness. One may read the label and say, well, the ingredients are all vegetarian, but it is not the best. One of our life members had a chips factory, and he insisted once on taking me to the factory. So the whole thing was a production line. There was a truck coming in with potatoes, and that was going into some sort of big bins, and there it was sprayed and cleaned, and then the whole thing went, the potatoes went on conveyor belts, and They were going over rolls. They were peeled, and next moment they were dried and sliced. Then the slices went under hot air, and next moment into a dip, into hot oil, and then spices were blown on by hot air, and then there were fresh, spicy chips, and then there were the workers, crunch, 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 eating those chips. Huh? And next, we are going to offer them to Krishna. Huh? But what if someone walks into the kitchen when we're cooking for Krishna and sticks his grubby fingers in the preparation that we're trying to prepare for the Lord? Huh? What about that? And just puts it in his mouth. What will we do with it? We can't offer to Krishna. We'll throw it to the dogs. Huh? They say, this is unofferable. Unofferable, isn't it? But chips, we offer every time. So, in this way, we must be very conscious. We must be conscious of our activities, not only in the field of eating, but in general. We must understand that we must be very careful and diligent to secure that we are safe on the spiritual platform. That is mentioned in the 11th canto. That is the life of a devotee. We're living in this highly contaminated age. We're all around us. All around us, so many things are going on. We see so much contamination is around us. We must be careful. We must be careful. Therefore, accepting service is risky in general. Of course, as a teacher, we may sometimes accept service. Brahmanas accept service from those who are their students. They bring some rice or something to that effect. Vaishnavas also accept service when they act in the role of teacher. But one must be very powerful to absorb sinful karma. It's not a light thing. Srila Prabhupada was sometimes very liberal. In one case, there was a family which was not completely vegetarian. But the lady in the house, she was herself vegetarian, but the husband was not, and he was forcing her to cook meat. So she once cooked a preparation for Prabhupada, and it was offered to Prabhupada, and the devotees explained the situation and that maybe Prabhupada should not accept. And Prabhupada said, what can we do? Right? If I don't accept, how will she make spiritual advancement? So Prabhupada accepted. But one must be very, very pure to be able to do such a thing. Otherwise, one certainly becomes overwhelmed by all these sinful reactions. Therefore, we are strict. Better safe than sorry. Because so many lifetimes, anadi bahya mukha, since time immemorial in the material world. Some devotees, they go to Bhrigu readers to find out who they were in the past. Usually, they were some prince somewhere, Vaish or a sannyasi, or some Vaishnava who was not quite successful in the last life. That's a little suspicious to me. Never was anyone a dog who was fed some prasadam outside the temple and then came back as a devotee. So it sounds like the Bhrigu readers are reading something into the scrolls. But whatever may be, leaving that part aside, we might consider that if we were indeed a Vaishnava in our last life, then that simply indicates that we failed, that we were not successful. Because a Vaishnava is meant to return back to Godhead. That is the aim of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava has no other aim, no other objective in life. That's our only priority. And then additionally, all right, bring in your hand luggage what you need to bring. Bring some rings and get married. That's fine. Right? But all within the confines of the scriptures. Kamasmi Bharater Sabha. Not beyond, because one can not do anything that risks returning back to Godhead this very lifetime. That is our aim. Some devotees may be fanatic. Some devotees may be relaxed. Some devotees may be strict. Some devotees may be loose. Whatever we are, ultimately, the criterion is to go back to Godhead. If one becomes fanatic, then there is a risk that in the course of one's service, one becomes insensitive to other Vaishnavas, and that one might commit inadvertently some Vaishnava aparat, because fanaticism is insensitive. So fanaticism is not good. Being too loose is also not good. Too liberal, also not good. One must be careful. Therefore, when I'm speaking, I'm not speaking in a fanatic mood or in an overly strict mood when I'm saying that the purpose of our spiritual life is going back to Godhead. What else are we here for? And if that hasn't become our priority yet, then it simply means that we are covered by ignorance. That's it. That we are still sunk into forgetfulness of the goal of life. Nate virum svartakate vishnum durasyaya bahirattamanina. But then we remain bound up in the material energy. And then we may fail this lifetime. It's a very high goal to attain perfection in devotional service. Not easily attained at all. It takes a very serious endeavor, and that we cannot ignore. And one cannot think, well, maybe I'll take a few lifetimes. And think, well, maybe it's too difficult for me to do it in one. I guess I'll choose for a few. But what is the guarantee that's going to be a few? It may very easily, one may again become covered over and then stay in the material world for such a long time. So we cannot take the risk. We have to go back to Godhead this lifetime. Well, then, ashram, that's a matter of choice. There is no ashram which is free from austerity. Every ashram brings with it its concomitant austerity. One has to simply adjust to it. Every ashram requires lots of adjustment. But that is required for us to be successful. To rise above the karma. We don't know what karma is still there. The aparapta karma is stored within the heart. Aparapta phalam papam kutam bijun phalam mukam kramaneva praliyata vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. It is stored in the heart. So many sinful reactions from so many lifetimes. We don't know what is there. We don't know what reactions are still to come. It is mentioned that Ajamil, at the time of being a student, he was a brahmana. It said he was the best. He was the best student in amongst all the others. He was exemplary. There was no one like him. So his teachers were very impressed by Ajamila. And they were just wondering, what kind of karma does this Ajamil have? And therefore, one day they thought, let's consult an astrologer. So the astrologer calculated the birth chart of Ajamil, and he saw, to his astonishment, that soon Ajamil would go into a very dark phase, and that he would fall down from his brahminical status and get involved in illicit activities with a prostitute. He could see it in the chart. The teachers were shocked, but yet they knew that the astrologer was qualified, and therefore they immediately made arrangements. They immediately made arrangements for Ajamil to get married. They said, no, you get married. You get married. And they also said, yes, and you just stay here in the ashram. No need to go looking for a job, you just stay here. They made maximum arrangements for his protection, but it was not successful. Because the sinful reactions stored within the heart from previous lives finally caught up with him and overtook him, and even although the start seemed to be so good. Therefore, the nature of aprarabdha karma cannot be overseen, but there is a risk. And obviously, in this particular age of Kali, which is already going for 5,000 years, we can appreciate that we may have had one or more births, many births before in this age of Kali. So most likely we have, during those births, engaged in so many sinful activities. And if some of them were human, then we are responsible. Because the human birth is the one birth where one is held responsible, that we have to understand. Therefore, we cannot expect that things will be smooth, that we will not be attacked by possibly strong material desires. For example, we were studying in Mayapur at the moment the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj in the Bhakti Vaibhava course, and I was teaching, so I was really studying up and reading commentaries and this and that. And then I came across a reference that in the Vishnu Purana it is stated that Dhruva Maharaj in a previous life was a Brahmana. And as a Brahmana, he was very qualified. But then in due course of time, Dhruva Maharaj, he became friends with a king. And in his friendship with the king, Dhruva Maharaj started to develop a desire to have similar opulence as the king had. And then we see that in the next life he becomes Dhruva. He's the knight to sit on the throne. He's the knight to sit on the lap of his father. And he becomes very angry. And what does he want? A kingdom greater than his father and grandfather. And where did it come from? We can see it was a desire which was already there from previous life, and he carried it with him. Just see. So we cannot expect that we will not be attacked by some very powerful material desires, since the aparapta karma is not good in the age of Kali. The unmanifest karma stored in the heart is not good. Therefore, it will happen to us. It will happen to us that we will be attacked by strong, strong desires, and where we develop the inclination to act against our better knowledge. Then we should remember, now I am a victim of external voices. This is not me. I am simply a playball on the waves of karma. I'm simply being controlled by external forces. This is not me. One has to understand that karma works in this way, that we become controlled by simply previous impressions. In this way, one must be detached, detached, even detached of what may come in the future. One already has to have a detached attitude. When material desire comes, I will not take it serious. In this way, we have to prepare. We have to prepare a mentality of being ready. When material desire knocks on my door, sorry, not home, no thank you, not interested, no, no. Even if it's cheap, I'm not buying that. No. Like that, one has to fix himself. That is only possible for one who fixes himself while chanting the holy name. Because if we try sincerely to conquer the mind while chanting the holy name and to fix our mind on hearing the chanting, and if we simply do that, then we can get the strength to be fixed also in ordinary dealings. Just like inattentive chanting leads to inattentive service. I was just talking to the mridanga player how mridanga playing is the most difficult thing. Why is mridanga playing so difficult? It's extremely difficult because it's not about different beats or different bowls or even different mantras. It's not about intricate rhythms and so on. That is the secondary part. The primary part is about hearing. It's all about hearing. A good mridanga player is one who listens. Who's totally attentive. He's attentive to the kirtan and he's following very carefully to what he hears. That's extremely difficult. Only possible if one chants attentively. If one is an inattentive chanter, one will be an inattentive mridanga player, for sure. One will do everything inattentive. One goes through life as in a cloud. And just walking like that, in that cloud, one will inadvertently do so many things that one later wonders, why did I do that? And don't forget the sage who as a child inadvertently grabbed a little stick and pierced an insect. Later on was visited when he was an adult. He was a sage in the forest, in his hut. And suddenly in the middle of the night, the strangers came and they were asking for shelter. He gave them shelter. And then an hour later, the soldiers arrived and arrested everyone. And they were all thieves. And they were going to kill these thieves. And the sentence was that they would be pierced by lances. And the sage was almost pierced by a lance. And then the sage, somehow or other, it was found out and the sage was released. Then that sage got so upset, he said, how is this possible? How is it that I was almost pierced by this lance? I'm going to find out. I'm going to check this out with Yamaraj. And he went to Yamaraj to find out what it was. And it turned out that it was his karma for, as a child, piercing an insect with a stick. All right, so we are simply attentive in spiritual life. Attentive to take shelter. Attentive in our chanting. Attentive to take shelter, attentive to act properly, attentive to act according to the desire of Krishna. Therefore it said surrender, Srila Prabhupada said, means to follow all the rules and regulations. Because surrender means to take shelter. Surrender means that one sees the need to take shelter. Surrender is not a fight with one's mind and one's desires. One might think that surrender is a fight with my mind and my desires. My desires are different. I know I should surrender, but I just don't feel like it. I have other desires. No, that's not the issue. The issue is that we have not understood how much at risk we are, how much in danger we are. We have not understood how much we need to take shelter. If we thoroughly understand that how much we need shelter, then we say, yeah, these desires, okay, but these desires are dangerous. I might get burnt. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take shelter. And therefore, this is the spirit that we understand, that life after life, we have already been in this material world. How many times have we been in touch with devotees? We don't know. But assuming that we did, we still did not attain success. But this life has to be different. Because this lifetime, we came in touch with Srila Prabhupada's movement. And in Srila Prabhupada's movement, the Siddhanta is crystal, crystal clear. One time, I was in Kanpur, and I was it was in Benares. In Benares, and I was doing a university program. And then, in the middle of, or towards the end of the program, there was one man who looked refined features, aristocratic look, looked like a Brahmin. And as I was coming to the end of the speech, the man started to breathe intensely. And I had the feeling that he wanted to speak something. And sure enough, as soon as I finished, it burst out of his mouth. And he started a glorification. He said, Oh, you spoke so wonderful. You spoke so wonderful. You spoke about the Kris Dhatu. The Kris Dhatu. He said the Kris Ka, Kala, Ra, Rakta, Sa, Sukla. Triyugi Narayan. Triyugi Narayan. Ka, Kala, Ra, Rakta, Sa, Sukla. Tri Rugi Narayan. Kala meaning black. Rakta meaning red, and Sukla meaning white. He was saying, referring to the three Yuga avatars. And I said, well, is that that's very nice, what you just said? Is that that's very nice? Because all the avatars are included in Krishna. Krishna is described in Shastra's avatari. His avatari is the source of all avatars. Dipari vahidasantra mabhupeja dipayate vivritahinu samana dharmi astadrike vicha vishnu tayor vibhati govinda madhipurusam tamaham bhajami. So many different expansions are appearing from Krishna. So, I said, but our Vaishnava acharyas, they give even a better explanation of the Kris Dhatu. Because they say that this Kris Dhatu is related to akarsan, to attract. And it refers to the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is all attractive. I said, and that is the most wonderful thing. Because within that, the relationship between Krishna and his devotee is explained. How Krishna is always attracting his devotee. Then the man was rolling on the ground and getting ecstatic symptoms practically. He was so happy. Later, it turned out that he was the director and professor of a Sanskrit college, and I am just a village pumpkin from Holland, and who am I as a Dutch village pumpkin to give a better explanation of the Kris Dhatu than a Sanskrit professor? Who am I? Just a village pumpkin when it comes to Sanskrit. I can't pronounce it, I don't know anything. But somehow or other, we have become connected to a glorious Sampradaya, which has been brought to us by various acharyas who made everything crystal clear. And then Srila Prabhupada took all that and made it all intelligible to us. One time, one devotee, one disciple of Prabhupada was reading a book of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Prabhupada's in Mayapur. And Prabhupada saw him. And Prabhupada said, "What are you reading?" And the devotee said, "Oh, it's a book of your Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "Nobody can understand the writings of my Guru Maharaj." He said, "He wrote those books for me." So anyway, Srila Prabhupada made it all intelligible to us. He brought it all home to us. And now all we have to do is to take shelter. That's the one thing we need to do. And if we don't, then we are not at all safe. Not at all safe. Our bad Kali Yuga, Aparapta Karma, and maybe even some karma from the Dwapara Yuga. And who knows, some karma left over from the Treta Yuga. And possibly even some karma from the Satya Yuga. Right? Is still haunting us today. Therefore, we need shelter at every step. So therefore, we are very carefully taking shelter at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and of all the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Because in the association of the followers of Srila Prabhupada, we become more fixed at his feet. And all the loose screws become tightened. Everybody has a few loose screws, if you know what I mean. Don't think that you don't have a few loose screws. Everybody's got a few loose screws in this age of Kali. But in the association of the followers of Srila Prabhupada, gradually, little by little, the loose screws become tightened. So, in this way, I pray that I may always serve the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada in the association of his followers and servants, and that I may serve their lotus feet as well. Thank you very much. Any questions, any comments? Yes. The loose screws.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Wonderful class. Maharaj, you made it very clear that the only aim for a human life is to go back home, back to God, and that also in this lifetime itself. That should be a clarity, that should be a conviction of a devotee who came into Krishna consciousness. Then we come with that conviction, we come with that motto, we come with that goal, but we have not reached to that highest standard in our consciousness. Externally, intelligent point of view, we have understood it, but consciousness point of view, we have not reached to that standard. So what happens is, as you said about eating and habits, we have had our past conditionings. We were attached to some food and some habits, which is always haunting us. It's always haunting us. We know it that we should not do it, we should not eat it. You know it, we should not eat it, we should not do it. Yet after some point of time, that really haunts us. And Maharaj, sometimes we get carried away also.
Maybe we become a mouse in our next life.
So what I mean to ask you, Maharaj, is supposing when we get haunted and we get carried away also with those habits and those temptations, at that time we feel it that we made some blunder in our Krishna consciousness. At that time, again to come back again on the same consciousness what it was before, what should a devotee should do it to come back again on that consciousness and again don't repeat the same mistake what it has done before?
Well, first of all, it's not just that we are practicing our spiritual life on the path back to Godhead with the handbook of the Shastra, sort of walking on the path and looking in the book and staying on the path, and that's all there's to it. No. Krishna is also there. Krishna is also personally present, and sometimes he arranges that there is a pit in the road which is a little bit overgrown, and just as we are too preoccupied with all the other things, then Krishna arranges that we fall on our face. That's also there. Oh. I hope no one fell with the offering. my didn't know my words were so powerful. So, what do we do? What do we do? It is said in the purport, Tutesam evanukampatam aham agyanajam tamaha, in that verse in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada in the purport writes that sometimes if a devotee is not serious about following the instructions of the spiritual master, then Krishna makes arrangement for his purification. Yeah? So that is also there. Yeah? But if in spite of getting the good instructions of the spiritual master, of the Vaishnavas, and in spite of getting many signals of Krishna, the car rolled over 7 times, but you stepped out alive and still not serious. Yeah? Then what? Then what? Well, once we have come to Krishna, Krishna will not easily let us go. So Krishna will continue to make arrangements to bring us back. But if we are determined and determined and determined to turn away from Krishna, then at one point, Savashyataham Vridi Sanivisto, Matasmitir Genamapovanamscha, forgetfulness and remembrance of Krishna both come from Krishna. So finally, if we're so determined to forget, then Krishna will let us forget. So therefore, we cannot play around like this and say, well, I'm trying to become serious, Prabhu. I'm really trying, but it's so difficult because of old habits, die hard. Well, if old habits die hard, then we will die many times by remaining caught in the cycle of birth and death. We're playing with fire. It is said, talking about fire, it reminds me of a verse that I read from the Vedanta Sara, where it says that just like a man whose head is caught on fire runs for water, that is how we should run for the spiritual master. We should be more eager. So this discussion is basically trying to pierce through complacency. That pointing out that complacency is dangerous. One can always make an excuse, old habits die hard, excuse. No, it's simply, when one is a brahmachari, there is an advantage. Because a brahmachari, he makes a big change. Bald head, bright saffron. Right? He looks clearly different from the world. But as a grihastha, there is a danger. Because it's Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. And when Mr. Hyde is downtown, then he looks just like everybody else. No tilak. Yeah. And then it's so easy for Mr. Hyde to just shovel some stuff into the mouth that's actually not so desirable. Better bring a tiffin from home. Prasadam tiffin. Why not? Why not? That's the best. It really is. We do it also. The stewardess comes 100 times. You sure you're not hungry? As if she's my mother. You know? But you're not eating. You know, she goes, but you're not eating. I am eating. I got a huge bag of prasadam from the temple. Too much, as usual. I'm eating on the plane. But she didn't see it. Then you're not eating anything. Please eat something. Forget it. I'm not eating anything from the plane. But it's pure veg. Mm-hmm. Even if it's veg, which I'm not sure about, it's not pure. So, in other words, there is no way to become relieved from the responsibility of making the choice for Krishna or for Maya. That choice we have to make. We will not be relieved from that choice. That minute independence we have. And that responsibility is the responsibility of the human form of life. We must choose for Krishna. So just as your favorite prep, Pani Puri. Pani Puri. Just as the Pani Puri is there, forget it. Yeah? Forget it. Have your own Pani Puri at home, but no Pani Puri at the side of the road. Forget it. Yeah? Just forget it. Forget it. Just take a vow. No more Pani Puri. No matter how good they look. No. Finished. Like that. Because we're playing. We're playing with fire. And it's our head that's on fire. You see the point? There's no easy way out. Basically, the question is sort of looking for an easy way out. But there is no easy way out. We are responsible.
Maharaj, how to get this conviction and that determination in our life and that to also maintain this for the whole lifetime?
How do we get this conviction? By hearing from those who have conviction. It's little by little it sinks in. The drop wears away the stone. By hearing and by taking risks in service to Prabhupada and his mission. Because if we take a risk in service, we do something difficult, then we gain strength in these things.
Maharaj, we have some, being in household life, sometimes we have this practical problem, is that we have been called with some marriages of the devotees.
With some what of the devotees?
Marriages of the devotees.
Oh, marriages. Marriages.
The devotees, they call us for the marriage. And yeah. Because ours is a preaching movement, we have to go and attend that marriage.
And there's the halwa.
Now the prasad over there is not been cooked by the devotees.
Oh.
It has been cooked by the outside people.
Achcha, the halwa, you know those. Achcha.
So, and if Baba. We, and the devotee is really pressurizing us that you should take prasad.
And you know what happened there? Because it's a devotee marriage. It's such an auspicious occasion that, and simply, these
These devotees that get married, they must invite all the guests. And because they are just busy making 1 million arrangements for the marriage, they cannot go into the kitchen themselves. Their parents, their mothers are too old to cook for so many people. So they have really no practical alternative than to give it out to the outside people. And because these devotees are so special that instead of playing Bollywood style relationships, you know, they are going for a dharmic relationship in this age of Adharma, in this age of Kali. Lord Chaitanya is so pleased that he just blesses the whole marriage arrangement. And therefore, although it's cooked by non-devotees, it's blessed. Don't worry, just... Chalega. Devotee marriage. Any other question? Over there, there's a question. And over there, there's a question. The mic is coming slowly.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for wonderful discourse. Actually, you already answered one question about the marriage because I recently attended one devotee's marriage and same question was there. The other question is, you know, you mentioned the two examples of Dhruva Maharaj and Ajamil's past life and also about the sage. So is it necessary that we should try to find out the karma of the past life, or shouldn't we just go chanting Hare Krishna?
Yes. No, we don't need to find out, because even if you try to find out about your last life, then there's always a life before. Okay? So even if you would know everything about your last life, then what about the life before that? And all the other lives. So no, we'll never figure out, we'll never uncover what is there in terms of aparabdha karma. But let us understand that it is there, and that this causes all these material desires, and that actually we are simply overpowered by old reactions, by our failures and mistakes of the past. Huh? If we made a mistake in the past, does it mean we have to make the same mistake now? That's foolish, right? Foolish. So we should remember, we made mistakes in the past, and now these mistakes from the past are still influencing us. But that's foolish. We shouldn't do it again. So we have to fight it by taking shelter of the holy name, and that will do everything. It gets rid of the whole thing. Not only chanting, because we cannot just chant, we must also serve the holy name. So this movement is the Hare Krishna movement. It is the movement that is serving the holy name. Because we are not so exalted that we can chant all the time, so we must do practical things like cleaning the floor and carrying things around and so on, because that we can do. That we can do. If we have to chant all the time, it's too much at this stage. It's also serving the holy name.
So the service in the temple and cleaning the floor and all is also like serving holy name?
Yes, yes, yes. This temple is dedicated to the holy name. It's not just a temple where you come for darshan. No? It's a temple where there's ecstatic chanting and dancing, which is what can really bring us to Krishna. So here the darshan is always accompanied by chanting, because it's through chanting that we go to Krishna. So yes, serving this movement, not only the temple, even outside, book distribution, serving the Sankirtan movement. It's Sankirtan, Kirtan, chanting.
Thank you very much.
It's coming. The mic is coming. You are a human microphone.
He is saying that he has the appreciation that whatever desires and karma he is undergoing right now, the seeds are there in the past life. Now how to overcome them?
Well, the only way to overcome them is through devotional service. It is said that the aparabdha karma is stored in the heart.
And it therefore creates a sinful inclination. And from that come desires, strong desires. So the sinful inclination is already there. And we're just walking through Mumbai. And then we see something, and there is a sinful desire. And then we see something else, and there is another sinful desire. And we walk around the corner, and a third sinful desire comes. And we cross the street, and a fourth sinful desire comes. And like this, we go through so many sinful desires because of the sinful inclination that is due in, that is in the heart due to the aparapta karma. But the chanting of Hare Krishna immediately diminishes the stock in the heart. So the sinful inclination becomes less. Therefore, we'll be less inclined to get sinful desires. And the sinful desires also, they become just diminished. And then we'll get stronger and stronger in being able to control these sinful desires. So therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna is the key that will help us to overcome them. Well, that's how we do it. And devotional service, as I explained to him, both. Both. So we should always be engaged. Always. Always engaged in either in chanting or in service. Always. 24 hours a day. Okay. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Oh, it's too late. We'll save it for the Sunday program. From the internet. Hare Krishna. Internet.